Hi, good afternoon. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage specialist, Deanne Katsaris. So how are you, Deanne?
I'm good, Mark.
I'm very, very good.
Excellent.
We're here on WWDB 860 every Friday from 1 to 2. This is the 394th show or so. If you want to ask us a question or give us a call about residential, real estate, commercial, mortgages, my number is 267-266-5501. And what's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
And we're here to keep you informed in any way we can and help you in your real estate needs. And you can listen to this show and all the past shows at our website, goodnewsandrealestate.com, possibly, and at the WWDB website, and you can listen to all the podcasts. Just Google Good News and Real Estate WWDB. So where are we at, Deanne?
I'm not really sure, Mark.
You're not sure? Now,
coming up on today's show, we have the market report, which is sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get a license now. We also have our business tips with Asking Dr. A. Of course, we have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
And we have our Mortgage Mom segment.
Which is?
Before I go shopping, I should...
Get pre-approved.
We'll tell you in the segment.
All right, very good.
A couple questions we're going to go over. I know that I roughly have 3 to 5 years before I'm able to buy a house. My question is, how do I find out what price I can afford or me and my wife can afford? Next question is, I have a land contract and I put 10% down on $170,000. The 10% is taken off the $170,000, right? I'm closing on a home in California next week. What recourse do I have if a seller does not disclose a known issue and is found after closing? With a USDA loan, I know there are location restrictions. Are there any other home restrictions, age, style, etc.? And Mark, today our topic is top five reasons you should not for sale by owner.
Not be a FSBO.
But first, give us your motivational quote.
And the motivational quote is, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain.
Very nice.
And that's what you got to do. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive, all the time. We'll be right back.
A study conducted by the National Association of Realtors and Google found that over 90% of people looking for a new home start online. If someone in your network is looking for a house right now, they'll probably go to a listing service online. But what if they thought of you first? All real estate agents know they need a strong, consistent presence on social media these days. City Blast is the largest social media management company in the world for real estate agents. As often as you choose and customize to your market, City Blast social experts post articles, videos, listings, and information to your Facebook fan page, Twitter, and LinkedIn accounts. They've helped over 8,000 agents get leads through social media with their patented Never Lose a Lead service and can help you build your social media profile and market your listings online. Find them online at cityblast.com or call 1-888-712-7888. Again, that's cityblast.com or 1-888-712-7888.
Hi, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive, all the time, here on WWDB 860 AM. So where are you at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to the market report.
And there is the bell. So, does the math make any sense? Or perhaps the sentiment does. More borrowers applied for home loans last week, even as interest rates made a little bit of a jump.
Daily.
Since after the presidential election, perhaps some thought it might be their last chance to get in at the low rates. But I don't think that's true because they keep going up and down. Total mortgage application volume increased 1.4% from the previous week. These are national numbers, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. You remember that?
I am a member of that.
Oh, yeah? You have any meetings lately?
No.
It wasn't in your schedule?
Not in my schedule.
No. Application volume was 26% below the previous week when the rates were lower, but, everybody start jumping in here. Refinance volume, which is highly rate sensitive, dipped 4%, which I could see that because a lot of people already refied.
Sure.
So while millions of borrowers have already refied at rock bottom rates, some several times. That's a bad sign. There's still a sizable pool who could benefit from a refinance. I was listening to something the other day about, I want to find out what this number is. There's got to be a way to find out how many people in the country have rates over like 6%.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to all of them.
Yes, we need to find out. But they say,
Google that?
I'm going to Google that because I'm curious. Well over a million borrowers could qualify and see at least $200 a month per savings, according to a recent survey by Black Knight Financial Services. I want to look that up, and I want to see, out of all the mortgages in the country, there's a lot of people that are just busy. They're working. They don't think about it.
No, there's a lot of people. I mean, I'm still getting calls with people that have an FHA loan at 5.75%.
That's right. And over
from years ago. Not only can they probably get out of an FHA and into a conventional, but they're not going to have PMI insurance.
No, and some of them, it's coming right out of their bank every month.
They don't even
think about it.
Yep.
And then the next month goes by, and the next month goes
That's what the bank's hoping for. It's like a gym membership, you know, when they do those $99 specials. They hope one shows up.
Yeah, exactly. National home ownership rate hit a 50-year low last year during the second quarter, slipping to 62.9%, according to U.S. Census Bureau.
What do they know?
But it did go down.
No, it did, and that was just because of everything that was going on.
The economy sucked for 8 years, and, you know, that's going to do things. Since then, rates have climbed slightly, and the rate has climbed up to 63.6% in the first quarter of 2017, a 0.1% higher rate than in the first quarter of 2016.
So look at that number. It's not 1.0, it's 0.1%.
That's right. So... is there another point than that one, or just that it's a low number?
No, I mean, it's just people are like, well, the rates are going up.
They're going to start jumping in here. But this is an upward trend, an indication that home ownership is turning around in the U.S. markets. And it is. Even though Philly jumped up to 40% rental, that's going to turn around because the millennials are going to realize you're paying somebody's mortgage, so you might as well pay your own.
Mom and dad's.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, they're not. Mom and dad are not getting rent. Yeah, they probably got to like clean the yard or cut the grass.
Take the trash out.
Yeah, take the trash out. But anyway, it may be too soon to tell. However, current analysis are encouraging. Credit Bureau and Risk Information Providers TransUnion released an analysis earlier this month of people who shopped for a mortgage in the first quarter of the year, and 55% of them were first-time home buyers. So that group's just going to keep growing. That's up from 35% of all home buyers who were first-time home buyers in 2016, according to the National Association of Realtors, a very unbiased group. And so that report was released in March. The downward trend of home ownership began with the housing bubble and burst and subsequent recession starting in 2007. It actually started like 2005, but nobody was paying attention, which resulted in as many 10 million families losing their homes to foreclosure nationwide, according to a National Center for Policy Analysis. But what's the national foreclosure rate?
0.
4%.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's like 20%,
right.
30%. It's 4%. Even in 08, it was 5%. So it's never as bad as you think it is. It's just the media is doom and gloom.
The media is doom and gloom.
Big time.
Really?
That's what I talk about.
Really?
If it bleeds, it leads. Not only were homeowners unable to pay off existing mortgages, but younger people entering the workforce for the first time were unable to qualify for mortgages as lenders had to restrict lending practices dramatically. And that's what happened. Actually, they punished everybody for their mistakes. Remember I wrote that song about that? They stole my rabbit ears away. Without the funds to make the down payment or the credit to be approved for a mortgage, millennials opted to rent. And then they continue to rent in many cases. Home ownership rate for Americans under 35 was just 34% in the first quarter of the year, according to the Census Bureau. But the passage of time, and time solves all problems, of course, the end of the recession has allowed those renting millennials to slowly build wealth necessary to enter the housing market.
And also have put out many grants that are out there, many grants.
And finally, the economy's turning around and they're getting better jobs. Right, what was the job 220,000 jobs last month?
Last month.
Yeah. So a senior vice president of TransUnion Rental Screening Solutions Group breaks millennial renters into three groups. Those who don't currently have the ability to buy, those who truly prefer to rent, which he notes has been the most highly publicized group, and those who want to own and will be able to in the foreseeable future. So that's all your customers in the next 5 to 10 years. You agree?
Yeah, I haven't really, you know, I would say that prefer to rent is a much lower percentage than those who have the current have currently the ability to buy. They don't know whether or not they have.
Remember, this is national.
I understand it's national, but I mean, it should actually go by people trying to see if they could get approved.
And it's the third group that's growing. The analysis of Shopping for Mortgage found that 29% of non-homeowners looking for mortgages were millennials, up from 28% in the first quarter of 2016 and 27% from the same period in 15. What you're potentially seeing now is a bit of a shift towards non-homeowners looking for mortgages. We may start to see a change in the trend of homeownership. Homeownership may start to increase.
We're also seeing an increase of people that have been in a home for 2 or 3 years and are putting their house up for sale because of the market and purchasing another home.
Right. There's a lot going on here.
There's a ton going on.
They also said a widely publicized view of millennials as internal renters appears to be a large generalization, vastly overestimated the impact on that group of people from the housing financial crisis. So that group, they want to own because they're about gaining wealth. They're about the pocketbook and the future. They're a different group. They just don't understand exactly what's going on because the media doesn't help. They don't read newspapers. They don't watch the news. And then they got to be very careful about what they read on Facebook and Twitter. What is true.
No, I just wrote that down as a note before you even said that because you got to be careful what's out there. Even if you're Googling information, you want to make, where is that information coming from? You have to make sure that that source is reliable. Is it somebody's opinion? Is somebody had a bad experience getting a home? So you have to be careful.
Really careful.
Where all that information
like
is coming from.
I do a market report for the show, and I go in and I Google latest real estate news. Most people are not doing this.
Sure.
And then a bunch of articles pop up, and then I look at who's writing these articles. Like if it's MBNBC or,
right.
You know, a lot of it, you got to watch out for the doom and gloomers.
Yeah.
And their opinions. So you got to be really careful what you believe is really happening.
So. Agreed. I totally agree. And that goes into even asking Uncle Harry because things back in the day are not the same as they are now.
No.
And you have to, you know, and that's basically what my segment is going to be about. Just making sure that you get the facts and you know what you're doing.
The facts and just the facts.
Just the facts, ma'am.
That's right.
All right. So that segment was sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get a real estate license now, 215-335-6919, or you can go online at philadelphiarealestateclasses.com and also visit their new location in Mount Airy.
Very good.
So with that...
So how are the rates?
Great, great rates. Ooh, I think you're a little high on the sheets today, but we will make an adjustment.
Go ahead.
30-year fixed rate for conventional is 4%. Your 30-year fixed rate for FHA is 4.25%.
See, that went down, of course, since I wrote this.
It did. They go up and down every day, and people should just not. First thing people call, what's the rate? What's the rate? What's the rate? Don't worry about the rate. If we were closing today, you're at 3.875. 30-year fixed rate for VA is 4%. 15-year rate is 3.25%, 7-1 arm, 3.875, and your 5-1 arm is 3.750.
So what was the FHA?
FHA is 4.25%.
That's a great rate. So that really hasn't changed much.
You know, they're going up an eighth. They're going up a quarter. They're not changing dramatically. So there is no reason not to jump in now, get under contract, close in less than 30 days, and get a great rate.
It's a great time to buy.
All right, but tell us your funny story.
All right, so here's the story. So the CEO, he's out jogging, Brian Monahan, he's the CEO of Bank of America. So he's out jogging without his guards. All of a sudden, this man with a ski mask jumps out from behind the bushes with a gun. The masked man says, "Give me all your money." Unwilling to do so, Monahan says, "You can't do this." He goes, "You know who I am? I'm the CEO of Bank of America." The guy looks at him and goes, "All right, never mind. Give me back my money."
That was good.
That was a good one.
A lot better than 18 going into 54.
Did you like
54.
That math question last week?
Yeah. If you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And coming up next will be our mortgage segment with the mortgage mom, Deanna Saris. And our topic is...
Before I go shopping, I should...
I should, and you got to stay tuned to find out what I should is. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive, all the time. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Mark Cumberland from Good News in Real Estate Show. I also represent buyers and sellers in the residential and commercial market. My number is 267-266-5501. I have years of experience dealing with buyers and sellers and teaching real estate. Just so you know, it's probably the best time to buy since the 50s. The consumer index is so low, along with the rates, it makes it cheaper to buy today than in 1989. If you're thinking of selling, don't wait. Prices are going up and there's a lack of inventory. Call me. I will help you with your real estate needs. My number is 267-266-5501. All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive, all the time here at WWDB 860 AM. So now it's time for the Mortgage Mom segment with Deanna Katsaris, and her topic today is Before I Go Shopping. So tell me about this.
I should.
Oh. All right, that was
all right. It's all right. It's all right, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I even practiced that once.
Once. So in today's market, you want to make sure... As you know, there are bidding wars going on. We talk about this almost on every show.
Yes.
On how much we should be pre-approved and get everything done. But every day when the phone rings, people, realtors are taking buyers out there. They're not pre-approved. They don't want to have their credit run, and they don't have any of their stuff together. So just today, I ran somebody's credit. She already went out and looked at a $220,000 house. Taxes were $8,500 in New Jersey.
Wow.
I cannot pre-approve her for this home.
Because that's what just the $8,000 is over
$693.
Yeah, well, yeah,
and especially if you want your mortgage payment to be at $1,100.
That's a problem.
It'd be a problem.
That only leaves like $400 for the difference there.
Right. So, I mean, are the houses staying on the market for a short period of time? Yes. But if you're not qualified to purchase that home, it's not going to matter. So you have to do your little due diligence. You have to make sure that you interview with realtors, find out somebody that you're comfortable working with, find out somebody that's knowledgeable, find out somebody that's going to go to bat for you, because it's not going to be, I'm going to put an offer in and it's over. There's going to be a lot of communication going back and forth, especially in today's market. You want to make sure that either they're writing a letter or they're doing what they need to do to get that home of your dreams. And Mark, I mean, you specialize in that. It's very rare that you don't get an offer accepted.
No, I usually win.
Yeah.
But I'm very proactive.
Well, and that's...
You got to be proactive. You can't just run around with blinders on showing houses and crossing your fingers, because
right.
That's not going to work.
It's the entire process is not black and white. It's also about building relationships. It's about building a relationship with your realtor, the realtor building a relationship with the listing agent, being able to communicate, talk one-on-one. So everybody needs to work together and be on the same page. But as a buyer, your job is to make sure that you're ready before you waste someone's time going and looking at houses. Well, I just want to see what's out there. I'm not sure what I want. Let's get a dollar figure. Let's get all your stuff together. Let's run your credit. Well, I don't want to run my credit because there's going to be a hard pull.
Yeah, we're not
and
buying
my credit,
cars here.
And my credit score is going to drop.
There's not going to be a car lot full of these red model that you want. And
right.
You got plenty to pick from.
But speaking of a car lot, when you're running somebody's credit, it's not like going to get a car.
No.
So I'm not running your credit 7 different times with 7 different banks. I need to have a starting point. So we need to run credit to see what you're going to qualify for. I need to know how much assets you have. Where is that money going to come from? How long do you plan on living there? So again, it's a process, and you have to be comfortable with somebody in order to go through this process.
That's right.
Being on the internet, getting pre-approved, that person is not showing up at closing. Yeah. I've said this time and time again, but I've already been pre-approved with someone on the internet. Doesn't matter. They're not going to be there to tell you that you can't get pre-approved. So it's a very quick process. It can be a very easy process. It can be a very stress-free process. But you have to start. That's exactly where you have to start. You wouldn't take anybody out that wasn't pre-approved.
No.
Because you don't want tire kickers, number one. You want to know that somebody's actually going to be able to make a decision and be qualified to make a decision to purchase that home.
I'm a business person. I'm worth $225 an hour. I'm not just riding around looking at houses like...
Because you don't have anything else to do.
Nothing else to do. Right. I mean, it's like, you know... But I'll give you an example. I'm listing one, actually, today. And this house is probably worth about $240. It's in Abington. How many do you think three bedrooms between 2 and 270 there are for sale in Abington?
In Abington.
Abington takes in a lot. A lot of little townships in Abington Township. Take a guess. What do you think?
I couldn't even guess because I'm not really 100% familiar with that area, but I'm going to say 4.
No, you're very conservative. It's like 10.
Yeah, that's what.
But
that's,
I mean, it's like, that's it.
Right.
That's it. So you go out and look at one of those 10, and you're not ready. By the time you get ready and come back,
they're gone.
Now you're now down to 8.
Right.
And the one that you liked is gone.
Right.
You know, that's the market we're in. It's reality. Everybody might as well get used to it.
Right. And I don't think it's going to change for a period of time, but it's something that you have to be prepared and you have to be strong and you have to know what you're willing to do and if you're willing to negotiate and how to negotiate. I mean, I talked to some people on the phone and they're not sure of the process. They're not sure what the realtor is supposed to do. And that's a shame.
How many realtors are you running into that are having problems with this whole thing? Because they've never been in this market before.
A lot. A lot. They're not sure what to do. I would say probably 3% of them are writing a letter telling them a little bit about the client.
That's a small group.
Telling them that how much they are pre-approved. I'm literally calling the listing agent when an offer goes in, letting them know, I have tax returns, I have this, I have that. And they're grateful. Because a lot of times, because things are
most flying. Mortgage people do not do that.
Well, most people aren't me.
I know. I'm just saying, though.
Your
company,
you're right.
You
I'm just
do
being
that.
Funny.
But, like, I just dealt with a bank that they don't even want to talk to the realtor.
Right.
They don't even want to talk to the buying agent. Besides the listing agent, they won't even talk to the buyer agent.
You know how many listing agents I'm doing business with now because of that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great lead-in.
It is a great lead-in, and especially when the buyer's approved, we go to contract. Now, the other point of this is because a lot of because there's bidding wars, right, deals might fall apart. They're falling apart because they went in unpre-approved.
That's right.
They went in pre-qualified, and that's because the mortgage company wasn't ready to get that done.
That's right.
And the buyer wasn't ready. So
this is a tough market.
You got to be prepared. If you want to win, you've got to be prepared.
A lot of people that got in this business, probably even in the mortgage business, after 2004 have never faced a market like this before.
They were order takers.
Yeah, it was easy.
They were order takers.
It was easy. And, you know, it can still be easy as long as you got your ducks in a row.
It's the easiest, hardest thing you're ever going to do.
Right.
And as long as you're organized, as long as you know what you're doing, as long as you communicate, because communication takes out the unknown. Even if it's good news, bad news, let the person know as soon as possible.
That's right.
Because most of the time when you think something's bad, you wait and you wait and you wait.
Yeah, because people don't like to give people bad news.
And it turns into being worse.
That's like fierce conversation. What's the most dangerous conversation is the one you don't have.
Right. And the most important part of that is letting somebody know up front because it might be able to be corrected.
That's
or
right.
Maybe it was a mistake. You never know. So,
and sometimes you'd be shocked. Things can work out.
Most times, if you jump on it early enough, they can be worked out.
Can be worked.
So you just can't be married to the outcome.
That's right.
All right. You ready for our questions?
Sure.
All right. Question number one. I know that I have roughly 3 to 5 years before I'm able to buy a house. My question is, how do I find out what price I can afford or my wife and I can afford?
The 3 to 5 years part is the weird part of this question. These people are like high S's and C's. They're like, we're going to buy a house 3 to 5 years from now. First of all, you better jump in now because I don't know what. 5 years from now, I'd be a little leery.
And you don't know. Maybe they had a bankruptcy. Maybe they had a foreclosure.
And they got to wait 5 years?
Well, they have to wait three.
Three.
So, but it's, I mean,
or
how do you find out?
They're just procrastinators.
Right. I mean, you could talk with somebody. It's
good that they're thinking about it and, you know, being prepared
right
down the road. They might be, if they didn't have something serious, they should be getting in earlier.
Yeah.
They probably just don't understand what a great time it is. There's another example.
So. You can also, you can go online with a mortgage calculator and find out what exactly is going to be a comfortable payment for you. But 3 to 5 years, I wouldn't really find out what you're looking for right now. It's too early.
Yeah, it is too early.
Taxes are going to go up. House prices are going to change. Interest rates are going to be different. And what your income might change 3 to 5 years from now as well.
All right, so what's the next one?
All right, next one. If I had a land contract and I put 10% down on $170,000, the 10% is taken off the 170 before I start making the payment. Is that correct?
Well, if they got a mortgage,
right?
If they're putting 10% down and you took 17 plus closing costs, yes, your mortgage is minus the
10%. 10% down.
Yeah, if it's no mortgage, and no matter what.
Well, it depends, because if they're doing 100% financing, then that 10% can go towards closing costs.
Right.
So their payment would be off of 170. But if they're taking a mortgage and they're putting 10% down and they're going to mortgage 90,
right,
then yes, that 10% would come off.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. I'm closing on a home in California next week. What recourse do I have if a seller does not disclose a known issue and is found after closing?
Well, and it's found you closed. So now hopefully you go to, you might have to sue them. I mean, you might have to go to court with your seller's disclosure, and they didn't disclose.
They didn't have a disclosure.
Or the seller did not disclose. Doesn't mean they
right.
didn't have a seller's disclosure. They might have just put it on there.
Right.
But apparently they were aware of some issue, and it didn't show up in the home inspection. It might have been behind the walls, whatever. And now, after the fact, they have to go back and possibly sue or work out a deal with the past seller. But you know, if you can't come to a conclusion, that's what court is for. And then you go in there and your honor makes a decision after whatever, how long it takes.
Right.
But that's basically the only recourse, plus your homeowners and everything else.
Right.
So.
All right. Very good. Question number four. Recently I began as a landlord and now I'm looking for a good tenant screening service. Did a quick check, but there are so many services. Any suggestions?
Well, they just recently began as landlords, so you don't know how many units they have. Maybe it's one house or something. But I think, personally, even if you have one house you're renting out, I think you should use a management company. And it'll solve a lot of problems for you. They can screen the tenants. They can do the credit checks. They can do the evictions.
Right.
They can do the repairs. And it keeps you out of all that because you got to figure out, and most of them charge like 5 to 8% of the rent per month, but you don't have to worry about anything anymore. And if they're a good one, you get a profit and loss monthly and a check.
Right.
And you're back in your 20% doing what you want to do rather than Christmas Eve showing up with a toilet, you know, and, you know, that's how that stuff happens. It always happens
always.
At the bad times.
Always.
Yeah. So do you want to be going to Home Depot on Christmas Eve and buying a toilet or just getting a check? How much is your time worth?
Sure.
I mean, you got to figure that out. Yeah. How much time are you going to spend on this yearly? Like I have a landlord for my school, one school, and I send her a check every month, but she has to send me the water bill. And even for her to do that, it's a pain in the butt. And then if I forget to pay the water bill right, then she's got to remind me about the water bill. And it's just like, I know she don't want to deal with any of this.
Right.
So, you know, what's your time worth?
So refer her to a management company.
Yeah, no, I don't deal with her, Nancy. I don't want no management company. But last year she took a bath. We had a major plumbing problem. that was bad. She's probably spent, I don't know, I shouldn't say it on the radio, but she's spent thousands.
Wow.
And then we had an air conditioning issue. We had a termite issue. It was a, she made no money off me last year. You know?
Shocking.
And she had to deal with it all. And she basically told me to deal with it. But I was like, yeah, wait a minute.
I'm a tenant.
I did deal with some of it. So, but all anyway, right. You know, that's one of the considerations.
Last question. With a USDA
loan. I love my landlord. She's cool. Go ahead.
Good plug. With a USDA loan, I know there are loan restrictions. Are there any home restrictions, age, style, et cetera? Yes, there are. So what you want to do is go to USDA.gov,
Right. Type
in the address, and because the USDA loan is based on population, based on amount of acreage, and you want to make sure that the property itself is USDA approved. So just go on to USDA.gov. You can put in the actual address, and it'll come up letting you know whether or not it is approved. And then you have to go on the website again as far as the income, how many people are living in the house, so that you as a person also need to be approved.
I actually checked my neighborhood because
right.
I have a farm right near my house, Fox Chase Farm.
Right.
I have actual working farm. And for whatever reason, right around the farm, nobody qualifies for USDA. Why is that?
Because of the population. Even though there's a farmland, there's a certain calculation that they do based on the how much land is there and based on the population.
No, really?
Just because you live next door to a farm doesn't mean it's going to be.
I think if I live near a farm and there's actual cows roaming around, I should be USDA approved.
Okay. Well, you can write a letter and find out how that's going to work.
All right. So what's coming up next?
Coming up next is going to be our business segment with Asking Dr. A.
Oh, the doctor. And he's got a good topic today.
Oh, I can't.
So with
wait.
That, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We will be right back.
If you are in the real estate industry or looking to buy or sell a house and are in need of a title company willing to work within your schedule and where you need them to, then call National Title Agency at 856-596-6550. Trust the company whose commitment to exceeding expectations and fast, reliable service has made them the choice title insurer for the real estate industry throughout the Delaware Valley. National Title's business model and proactive approach to preparing title commitments, preparation for closing, and attention to detail provide an easy, effective, and hassle-free avenue to closing. They close loans faster, more effectively, and more efficiently than the competition. Headquartered in Marlton, call them today, 856-596-6550, or visit them online at nationaltitle.net. National Title Agency. Exceeding your expectations. Closings anytime, any place, anywhere. 856-596-6550 or nationaltitle.net.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB. So Deanne, where are we at?
We are up to our business segment with Asking Dr. A.
I'm sorry.
And our topic is getting that listing, making that sale using the disc.
All right, very good. So, Doctor, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right.
How are the two of you?
Very good. So tell us how we want to start this.
Well, what I thought we would do is we'd spend a little time talking about what a de-behavioral style is like. And then we would talk more specifically on how to interact with them and work with them if they're a listing or if they're a seller or buying, excuse me.
That's good. So then the audience will understand what the DISC means, the D-I-S-A.
Right, exactly.
All right. So go ahead. Let's get started.
All right. Well, let's – one of the things I want to say right away is when you're looking at a DISC, you're looking at somebody's behavior. And it's not their personality, because the personality is much more complicated than just behavior. The other thing is there's like over 30 different DISCs out there. Ours is the most accurate because ours actually looks at 384 different behavioral sets, where the closest other one looks at 24. And the reason that's important is there's actually 96 different behavioral sets that are just D behavior. So what we're going to talk about today are the more intense D styles.
All right.
Okay. So, so just like you, Mark.
I'm high, D.
They're high. Yeah, you are. So am I. They're high risk. They want things to be to the point. They don't like to chit chat. Just get it done. They're very, very direct. If you take too long, they'll either interrupt you or finish your sentence. They're very fast moving. It seems like they're always going somewhere. So keep that in mind when you're trying to get them as a listing or as a buyer. Okay, they're very task oriented. They're bottom line results oriented. And they like to feel successful. And when they're under stress, they typically wind up blaming others, which could be their spouse or could be the realtor.
Right.
So that's a brief overview.
Yeah, they're all about the bottom line.
Yes.
Yeah, so
I don't, they're not going to want you to mess around a lot.
That's right. Like if you were coming to list my house, I wouldn't need to know what everything about everything. Just how much is it and where do I sign?
Well, and what I would ask you when you're listing your house is how fast do you want it to sell? Is that important to you, or is it more important that you make more money in the sale, or is there some other goal that you have in selling your property?
Yeah, I think dealing with a D, you're best asking them what's the most important thing they want to know about.
And yes, it's always about them.
And they'll tell you.
Yes.
Rather than give them a whole pitch on how great you and your company is and how long you've been in the business, because they don't really care.
Well, the best way to show them how great you are is to focus on them.
Yes.
Right, so when you're focusing on them, what you want to do is you want to be to the point and you don't want to waste their time, whether it's a listing presentation or you're taking them around to buy property. Okay, and you need to be direct, and they can take it. A lot of times people are reluctant to be direct with somebody because they're afraid they're not going to be able to deal with it. You know, but if there's things that you would like to see improved in their house to try and sell it more quickly, tell them that. You know, do it tactfully, but tell them that. And you need to be fast moving, and you also need to be on time, even though don't expect them to be on time.
No comment.
All right, so do you want to talk about listing first or selling first?
You can talk about selling. Fine. Talk about selling first with a D.
Okay. All right.
Well,
so
let me just ask you a quick question. So how do you find out whether that person is a D? Like, is there certain things you should ask them in the beginning? Like, what are you looking for? So if I'm dealing with somebody that's a D, what are things I should look out for to know they're a D?
All right. Well, one of the things you can ask them is what is important to them regarding selling the property? Okay, because we're looking at the listing right now. And they're almost always going to say that they want it to be done quickly with the least amount of hassle, okay, or they want to make a lot of money from it. See, an I is going to say, I want somebody who's going to really love my house. And that's important to me. And an S is going to look at, they're going to be more interested that it's comfortable. Okay? You know, so there are different aspects. The other thing is, if they're very efficient or very well organized, okay, they might not be orderly, but they're very organized. They might be a little pushy. You know, those are personalities that go along with thieves.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yep, it's perfect.
Yeah, they're going to be very business-like.
Okay.
They're going to be introduce themselves. They're not going to be jumping out of their skin warm and fuzzy at first. They're going to be about detail, getting to details quickly.
Right. It's more quickness, and it's more efficiency of time, and don't waste their time. And don't do anything that challenges their intelligence. You know, so don't try and demonstrate that you are the one with all the wisdom regarding residential real estate. You need to demonstrate that you're doing that, not tell them. Okay, so ask them questions. What would you like to know? Okay, what would you like to know about the process? You know, things of that nature. But you want to focus on what their interests are and not what your interests are. And if their goal is to sell quickly, ask them about how you can help them do that. If their goal is for profit, okay, how much profit do they want to have? You know, you can get into the more specifics regarding by asking them how much they paid for the house or how much is left on the note, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah, they're not going to be shy. They're not going to have their arms crossed and, like, you're going to be pulling teeth to get anything out of them. They're going to tell you.
Right. Now, one of the other things is, if there's something nice about their house that you really like, give them a compliment, because these like to have a compliment. But by all means, don't BS them. Don't tell them something that isn't true, okay, because then they're going to start to not trust you.
No doubt.
Okay, and then point out, as the listing agent, you're working for them. That's your job. So they need to be as upfront and honest with you as they can, okay, because your primary objective is to get that house sold or the property sold in the way that they want it to be sold.
Right.
What other issues come up? You guys are the experts in real estate. You do this every day.
Right.
Yeah, but they're not going to be about – they're not going to need to know how many houses you sold and your company sold.
No.
All that. They don't really – they're not going to care about that. They're going to care about the bottom line.
They might care about whether you've sold houses similar to theirs.
Right.
Okay, because they're going to want to make sure you know what you're doing.
Right.
And you can't tell them, I know what I'm doing. You have to demonstrate it. There's a huge difference.
That's true. I think asking these exactly what they want, because they'll tell you.
Right.
They're not going to
focus
be,
on that.
Yeah, they're not going to be shy.
Don't ask them that and then ignore them.
Yeah.
I'll show you out the house.
Yeah, and they're going to have a shorter attention span, so
right.
Get to the point. You know,
right.
But they want to win.
Always.
They want to win, so they want to get the best price and all that. But they'll be realistic because they're more realistic. Because they want
well,
they're
to more practical,
moving.
Usually.
Yeah, they're very practical.
You know, the means, you know, the ends is where they want to go.
That's right.
So you need to find out what that is and help them get there.
Yeah, they're all about winning. They want to win.
Yes.
And they want to win quickly so they can move
and
around.
Don't get in competition with them. Because even if you win, in the competition, you've lost in their mind, and you're going to lose the listing.
True. All right, doctor. We're going to have to stop there. So we did the D on the seller
side. Well, we did
side.
The D as far as listing. We didn't do it as far as buying.
All right, let's continue this series because this will be interesting.
And I think it'll be helpful for everyone. So, doctor, how does everyone get a hold of you?
All they have to do is email me at Abelson. Abelson at abelson.net or go to our website at www.abelson.net.
All right, very good, doctor. Yeah, I'm going to like this series. This will be a good one to put out on Facebook and everybody, like dealing with the different personalities with listings and buyers.
Absolutely.
Especially when we get to the S's and the C's, because this is not the market to be hesitant and not make decisions, which can be their problem.
Right.
And most of the better real estate agents are typically D's and I's, and they understand themselves better, and they don't understand the S's and the C's nearly as well.
Yeah, and there's more S's and C's out there than anything. So, all right. Very good, doctor.
Thank you, Dr. A.
Catch you later. Have a great couple weeks.
All right, you too. All right, great. And coming up next is our topic of the day, top five reasons why you should not for sale by owner.
Very good. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive, all time. We'll be right back.
Thinking of getting a real estate license? It's a great time to get into business with unlimited earning potential. Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. It's a real estate school conveniently located in Philadelphia. They offer day and night classes to get you on your way into the real estate industry. If you plan to do real estate part-time or full-time, getting your license is the first step. Call 215-335-6919. Philadelphia Real Estate Classes has experienced instructors to help gain the insights you need to pass the real estate exam and get your license. It's a great time to get started. Call the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes at 215-335-6919 or visit our website at philadelphiarealestateschools.com. Get a license now.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive, all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. As Barry would say, so where are we at?
Mark, we are up to the topic of the day.
Which is?
Top five reasons you should not for sale by owner.
That's right. You should not be a FSBO, a for sale by owner. This is not the time to do it. Actually, it's never the time to do it.
Tell us why.
I'll tell you why. Because in today's market, with home prices rising, the lack of inventory, some homeowners may consider trying to sell their home on their own. And known in the industry as a for sale by owner, or what we call a FSBO. There are several reasons why this might not be a good idea for the mass majority of the sellers. The top five reasons are, one, exposure. Buying the $7.95 sign from Home Depot and sticking it on your lawn is not exposing your house to the market. Recent studies have shown 94% of buyers search online for a home. That's how they start.
Right.
That is in comparison with only 17% who look at print newspaper. I think that's way high number. Most real estate agents have internet strategies to promote the sale of your home. Do you? So, I mean, you're for sale by owner and you put that sign, $7.95 sign on your lawn. Who's seeing it? Results come from the internet. Where did buyers find homes they actually purchased? 51% from the internet. 34% from a referral from a real estate agent, 9% from a yard sign, so somebody rode by and saw your sign, 1% from the newspapers, which is probably even lower than that. I don't even know if I buy that number.
Yeah.
You see the papers anymore? They're like paper thin. There's like nothing to
them. I went to pick up the Sunday paper off the front porch, and I couldn't believe how...
$1.54 Daily News in Philly, it's like...
I thought there was a
it's
section
ridiculous.
Missing, like something blew away.
They're almost done. The days of selling your house by just putting up a sign and putting it in the paper are long gone. Having a strong strategy is crucial. Number three, there are too many people to negotiate with. Here is a list of some of the people with whom you must be prepared to deal with when you decide to negotiate your home as a for sale by owner. The buyer. Now, here's one of the biggest problems for sale by owners. They're not realtors. They don't negotiate a lot. They might have negotiated a couple times in their whole life. And now this buyer shows up, and he wants the best deal. And it's going to be a face-to-face negotiation. Buyer agent, who solely represents the best interest of the buyer's attorney in some parts of the country, the home inspection companies, which work for the buyer and almost always find some problems with the house, the appraiser, if there is a question of value. So who's going to deal with all these people? I mean, you know, they didn't take a real estate course. They don't really know what's going on here. Their plan was, I'm going to save 6%. That was their plan. For, you know,
which
one thing
never
about
works out.
That, which it doesn't work out. For first of all, if a house is for sale by owner, for $100,000, what are you going to offer?
I'm going to do 6% less.
Yeah, 94.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the gate. That one never even crosses their mind. Nobody's offering you 100G because they know you're saving 6%.
That's right.
So you're never getting over 94. They never even think about that one. FSBOing has become more and more difficult. The paperwork involved in selling and buying homes has increased dramatically as the industry disclosures and regulations have become mandatory. This is one of the reasons that the percentage of people... And FSBO has dropped, this is a high number. I don't agree with this number, from 19% to 8%. I heard that number is even lower than 8% in the last 20 years. 8% share represents the lowest recorded figure since the National Association of Realtors has been collecting the data since 81. I'd be surprised if it's over 5%. Because the numbers I have in my head...
Right.
And when I worked for Weikert, they were really good at statistics. 97% of for sale by owners will end up listing. Out of the 3% that sell, half of those won't get to the settlement table.
Half of those won't get to the settlement.
Yeah. So 1.5% will actually end up settling, which is the point of the whole thing.
Right. You're just prolonging the entire situation as well, because I used to have signs that were for sale by owners, and I used to use that for buying leads.
Right.
But nobody's doing it anymore because nobody wants
First
to deal
of all,
with it.
The face-to-face negotiation thing is one they never think about. Well, hire a lawyer. Well, you might as well list. You net more money when using an agent. And this is number one. This is a big statistic. Many homeowners believe that they will save the real estate commission by selling on their own. They realize that the main reason buyers look at FSBOs is because they also believe they can save real estate commission. The seller and buyer can't both save the commission. In fact, what happens is sellers actually net more when they're listed because they don't get beat up during home inspection. So they actually end up netting more, even though they hired a realtor. Studies have shown the typical house sold by a homeowner sells for $185,000, while the typical house sold by an agent sells for $245,000. That's a big number.
That's a...
This doesn't mean that an agent can get you $60,000 more for your home, as studies have shown that people are more likely to a FSBO in a market with lower price points. However, it does show that selling your own home might not make sense. And it's one of the reasons it is because there's so many hurdles to get across to get to the settlement table. You know, excuse me, just because some buyer knocked on your door, first of all, like we were just talking about personality types.
Right.
You know, D-I-S-C. Now, a D and an I might come up and knock on your door. I'll tell you what a D will do. A D will knock on the door. Hi, I want to see your house. Like that. And, you know, the I will come up and say, hi, I love your house looks. You think I could come in and meet you? That's the way the I's are. The S's are going to go, you think we should knock? You think they're going to answer? And then the C's are going to be like, I don't know. I don't want to knock on the door. And just dealing with personalities. So even if they take a tour of your house, then they got to turn around and say to you, and usually the question comes up, how much do you want for your house? And then the seller's got to spit out a number based on, how did you come up with that price? Well, I heard that Mrs. Jones around the corner, her house sold for this. Well, you got proof of that? I mean, this thing has to appraise. So picking the price is a major problem. And then knocking on a door and having a face-to-face conversation is an issue. Not right. Everybody's good at that.
Right.
And now you're taking – and the other thing on the seller side, you got this guy knocking on your door maybe after dark at night because you got a $7.95 sign on your lawn, and you're going to let him in? And then when he finally get up to that front bedroom, you know,
right?
You realize that this is not a buyer. Like, there's no security there. Things they don't even think about. There's so many issues here.
There's layers on top of layers.
And layers. And then if they say, I want to buy it, then it's like, uh-oh, somebody's got to write a contract.
Right.
Oh, my Uncle Harry works for a title company. Well, they're not writing the contract. Well, I'll call a lawyer. Well, then here we go. Magic number, $2,000 up front, lawyer
right.
wants. And by the time you get to the end of this thing, 45, 60 days out, you might as well hire the realtor. You're going to get the a la carte, right?
Yeah.
As you go through. And then, so there's so many issues. And then the home inspection guy comes out. And then somebody's negotiating all those repairs. So it's like, this house is not sold when they say, I'll buy your house. This house sells when you go to the settlement
table,
and you get a check and the keys slide across the table. In the meantime, all the way through, we're negotiating. Anything could happen.
Right.
And if there's nobody like me in the middle of this thing, keeping everybody on board and keeping everybody happy and keeping everybody out of the dark and understanding what's going on, all kinds of things can happen.
No, you're right.
It's so risky, legality-wise, liability-wise.
Right.
What if it blows up? What are these people going to do? They're going to lawyer up.
Right.
And now you got a real problem. You might have violated some laws you didn't even know you violated.
Right.
You know.
No, I agree.
I mean, there's so much liability on being a for sale
by owner. And
there's
paperwork, and there's back and forth. I mean, it's
there's
the
tons
title
of
company,
paperwork.
There's appraisal, there's... You know, pre-approvals and
there's all kinds of people getting involved in your deal.
Right.
Appraisers, home inspectors, termite guys, radon people.
Right.
You know, if you got a well, you know, you got well guys. I mean, there's chimney people, roofers. you could have this vast amount of people.
So what you're basically saying is it's not in the best interest for someone to purchase.
And to make them feel good, in reality, the seller will net more if they use a realtor.
And
what's the point? Is to net more.
Right.
But they have some major
struggles.
But
you can't put a price tag on a peace of mind.
No.
I mean, to go to sleep every night knowing that it's been taken care of, knowing that you're dealing with a professional. I mean, you're not going to have the gas station attendant be your dentist just so that you could
That's
save
right.
some money because he's got a pair of pliers.
Dentistry by owner.
It doesn't make sense.
That's a bad idea. I actually saw a sign like that one time, dentistry by owner. You know, yeah, you wouldn't do that. So, I mean, if, you know, I wouldn't fix my own car. I'm hiring somebody. I don't do what I'm not good at. You know what I mean? So to hire, to try to do this to save 6%, and then what if it falls apart? Then you got to do it again. This could go on forever.
And it's costing you more money. You're making your tax payment. You're making another mortgage payment. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Plus the liability part of it. I mean, if it blows up, it could be a real mess. And now your life is in turmoil all because you tried to save 6%.
Right. I think we hit the point. I think they understand. I think that the segment is that you should absolutely get a realtor.
No doubt about it.
And I'm sure you could help them with that.
I can definitely help you with
listing. So if somebody wanted to contact you, they would do what, Mark?
Hey, call me at 267-266-5501. Plus, I've done these before where somebody was negotiating and I had a buyer that saw a for sale by owner. So we went there. I knocked on the door and I talked to them about showing the house. And the for sale by owners, most agents think that they're scared of for sale
right.
by owners. Because most agents are S's and C's and they'll like, no. But they'll say to you like, well, you're an agent. I'll say, yeah. I said, but I got buyers.
And
I got a buyer wants to see your house. Well, who's going to pay your commission? I said, well, we'll work that out if we get a deal going.
Right.
But I mean, I'll say, listen, if my buyer buys this house, I said, I'll give you a break. I mean, for you today, maybe 4%.
Right.
And I'm saving you 2%, and I'll take care of the whole thing, and this thing will close. Because my buyers, totally pre-approved, tax returns in, everything ready to go. No guessing. Some buyer knocks on your door. How are you going to know what they're doing?
No, agreed.
You know? Oh, yeah, I can buy. And then you find out after just writing the contract, and that's a problem, too. Where do you get that contract? You download a PDF where you go to Staples and buy one?
Right. And people can't fill that out. I've been down that road.
I know agents that have problems
right.
with that baby. So, you know, it's a bad idea. So my advice is, plus you got to remember these numbers. 97% of all for sale by owners will end up listing. 97%.
Yep.
3% that sell, only half will make it to the settlement table.
Excellent segment, Mark. Excellent segment. So with that, if you have any other questions or would like any other advice, you can call Mark at 267-266-5501. Or you can email him 8029@comcast.net. Or you can email me at DeanneKitsaris@comcast.net. Or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And with that, a special thanks to all of our sponsors and all of our people that are listening every week and tuning into the podcast.
If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest on our show, give us a call at 267-266-5501.
So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Kitsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate.
All positive,
all the time.